You gotta love Tom Hanks, right? That's how I felt about 3 months ago. In about a 3 week time frame as a family, we accumulated just under $5,000 in auto repairs. One of my friends who knew what was going on at the time, one day sitting in my office, and he called me, and he knew that the first repair was a total rebuild of Marley's transmission in her SUV. And so he called one day and he said, "How's your car?" Because that's the one he knew about. He said, "How's your car doing?" Well, in the meantime, we replaced the front end in my van. And then after the transmission work in Marley's SUV, we spent about another $900 on her SUV. And so when he called, he said, "How's your van?" or "How's your car?" And I said, "Have you ever seen that old Tom Hanks movie? The one where he buys the big house and everything falls apart." I couldn't at the time on the phone, I couldn't remember the name of it. And he said, "Yeah." He said, the Money Pit." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you remember the bathroom scene? All right, everything's gone wrong. Tom Hanks, he just comes in. He wants a lukewarm bath. And when he's pouring the water in, the tub falls down to the first floor. And he has just one response. It's to laugh and to laugh and to laugh and to laugh. And he laughs so much that you're certain that this individual has popped a screw or a bolt or something. Something's loose up there. And I simply said to my friend on the phone that day, I said, "That's how I feel right now." I said, I don't want to cry. I said, "I think all I can just do at this point is laugh." And I don't want you to get me wrong this morning. I don't mean to make light. I'm not trying to make fun of financial issues. I know them as well as I know you know financial issues. Medical bills. Can I get an amen? Auto repair. Unexpected travel. Anybody raising kids out there? Yeah. Not enough money at the end of the month. I get it. I get it. In this case, though, I had reached kind of that point. I'd reached the end, but it just kept coming. There were some other things going on in our lives 3-4 months ago. And life just kept coming. And it seemed for whatever reason that every time life came and knocked on the door, it was somebody standing there with their hands open so I could just give them more money, more money, more money. And I got to that point where it's like when somebody came for money, I just wanted to laugh. The truth is, though, is that in those moments, I believe I saw something in myself or something was revealed about me, something inside of me. And quite honestly, church, I think something was revealed in me that I didn't like very much. You see, the truth is long before I wanted to laugh, I actually was pretty angry. There's another little story that goes along with Marley's transmission. I won't tell you about that, but I'll tell you where not to go if you need transmission work, right? See, I was angry. I was mad about this. And then I went from anger to sadness. I was sad. I was like, "Man, all my money's going to something I didn't want it to. Car repairs, of all things." When I saw my money, see that, Don? My money, my quotes. When I saw my money go into something after having already earmarked it for something else, it upset me. And so quite honestly, in the months that have followed, through these simple, dumb things like auto repairs, I've had to kind of step back and ask some questions about my attitude surrounding my money. And so this morning, we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 13, shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And this morning we're going to be looking at verses 5 and 6. So if you have your Bible, take them out with me. If you don't, it'll be on the screen and you can bring your scripture with you next week. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The writer says this. He says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? We don't do this often, but back us up, George. We're going to read this one more time. Verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with whatever you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? That's the word of the Lord. Now, some of you are paying attention. And I don't mean you're paying attention right now. Some of you might not be. But some of you have been paying attention for the last few weeks. And some of you are saying right now, hey, Pastor, you skipped verse 4 in this little series, right? Okay, we're going to talk about verse 4 next week. Okay, first Sunday of every month at Center Point is Family Worship Sunday. It's when all our kids are with us. If you're a kid out there, and normally you're in children's church, but you're here today, will you scream real loud? All right. See? They had to be listening in order to understand. Yeah, thank you guys. So good to have you this morning. Well, next Sunday, our kids are going to be back in the children's church again, and we're going to deal with verse 4 next Sunday together with some older ears. Everybody with me? Say, uh-huh. See, here's the deal. In Scripture and in other ancient teachings, it was common for sexual immorality to often be coupled with greed for the purposes of teaching. One ancient writer reported that all the worst quarrels, listen to this, maybe you've experienced this even this week, all the worst quarrels, both public and private, are due to greed for either a woman or a possession. Selfishness seems to lie behind both sexual immorality and greed. And we see even in the Ten Commandments that the seventh commandment related to adultery comes right before the eighth commandment related to not taking things that belong to others. And so in Hebrews, there's this pastoral concern. Look on the screen with me. Here's the pastoral concern in Hebrews, that the writer wants them to get this. A life unhampered by the love of money will reflect a contentment that is grounded in right belief about God. In other words, if you understand God and you understand the nature of God, the character of God, the love of God, there is in that understanding a contentment with life that does not require the love of money. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bible, flip with me up to Matthew chapter 6. Again, it'll be on the screen. Jesus is talking not only to his disciples at this point, but he's talking to a large gathering of other people through the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he says to them. He says in verse 21, he says, no one can serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Church, you cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and guess what? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Church, you cannot serve both God and money. You know what also you can't do? You can't take your life into your own hands through worry, while simultaneously trusting God. Did you know that of all the things Jesus said, Jesus didn't say a whole lot of do nots? One of the things Jesus said, do not do. He said, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about the basic needs. Trust in the Father. And so the writer of Hebrews hits us this morning with this idea. He hits us with a phrase that is nowhere else in the New Testament. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money. And here's what he's doing. The writer in chapter 13 is addressing an earlier problem that he's already dealt with. An earlier conversation. Many of the believers in Hebrews, they had already experienced hard times. They had already experienced trial. And many by this point, we believe, had already experienced a loss of personal property. So if you have your Bible there at Hebrews 13, flip back over to Hebrews chapter 10 just for a moment. So already the writer of Hebrews has come on into the scene, and he said to these believers in his attempt to, so that they don't turn back on their faith, so that they don't abandon Jesus, here's what he says. He says, remember those earlier days. Remember when you were young believers. Remember when you were excited about the faith. You were passionate about the faith. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. With joy, you endured the confiscation of your own property because you knew that in Jesus you had better and lasting possessions. And so there's something in this writer in Hebrews. He's trying to get to a mindset now, though, that is creeping up in the church. He's trying to address a mindset that's starting to make its way among the body. And here's the mindset. Perhaps if I get enough wealth, I could help myself the next time they come for me. If I could just get enough stored away in the barn, the next time the leaders come knocking on my door with their hand out, I can give them what they need, but I'll still have enough back here to take care of old number one. If I could just get enough back here, the next time medical bills come knocking, the next time auto repairs come knocking, the next time a needy person comes knocking, I'll be able to help them, but I'll still be able to take care of old number one. If I can just get enough, right? If I can just have enough, I'll be able to take care of myself. I'll be able to take care of myself. And so to echo Hebrews 13 this morning, can I say this to you, Center Point? July 3rd, 2016. Center Point, keep yourselves free from the love of money. Be careful that you don't give your allegiance to money. Be careful that you don't place your trust in the almighty dollar. For the last 3 weeks, we've been in Hebrews 13. And here's what we've done for the last 3 weeks. We've noticed a call from the writer on the body to love each other. We've noticed a call on the body to love the stranger. We've also noticed a call on the body to love those in prison and to love those who are mistreated. And then, genius type fashion, the writer, after he says, church, you got to love each other. Church, you got to love the stranger. Church, you got to love the prisoner and the mistreated. And now, genius fashion, here's what the writer says. He says, but here's what you can't do. Don't love money. You see, love for money stands in direct contrast to those earlier calls to love each other, love the stranger, and love the prisoner. Now money stands as the thing that potentially gets in the way of loving others. You see, love for others becomes this very beautiful, godly thing. this way of us living in the world. Love for money, though, becomes this very ugly thing. No doubt, deep-rooted in our own selfishness, no doubt deep-rooted in our own concern for ourselves. And church, you know as well as I know that when my concern is primarily on me, it's very difficult to even see what's going on in the world around us. Thinking about Brandon and Corey this morning, Dale Carnegie in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he said you can be at a party and you can be talking to someone with cancer, but if that person has an ingrown toenail, they are much more concerned about that toenail than they are about the reality of cancer in that other person. Something we need the Lord Jesus to be able to come in and heal us from. And so it begs the question this morning for us. Church, what's more important? Protecting and hoarding possessions or living in faith and trust in God? Here's what the writer of Hebrews does. He calls his friends to contentment in what they possessed. A contentment that was founded on the belief of God's constant presence. One writer has said, a restless concern for money is perceived as a betrayal of trust in God. You cannot serve both God and money. And so there's this call to contentment in the idea that the Lord is always going to be there. And so the writer goes on. The writer goes on, and here's what he says. He says, the Lord is my helper. I can trust in the Lord even when times are difficult. I can trust in the Lord even in the most difficult times. I can trust in the Lord when it seems that they keep knocking on my door, and every time they do, their hand is out to say, more, more, more. No matter what's going on, I'm called to take this posture of trusting God. Now, some of you remember back in January, we were in our First Step series, and we heard from Kevin Smith about fitness. We heard from Dixie Turner, a.k.a. Roxy Rich. She's out of town this week. I'm going to pick on her just a little bit. Roxy Rich talked about faith. Darla Sparrow talked about family. But as a part of that series, Don Myers came up, and he shared a little bit about finance. If you want to get back on track in your finances, what would be a great way to go? Part of the inspiration for that finance piece was this Hebrews 13 passage. Here's what he said. He asked us these questions. He says, does my money control me or me it? He asked the question, do I find security in my money or a lack of security because I don't have enough of it? Church, what's your relationship to money? Think about that just for a moment right now. What's your relationship to money? See, I know some of you be out right now, you're like, well, duh, we like it. We need it. We don't have enough of it. People try to take it away from us. I don't want it going out the window. I've got a lot of it stashed under a mattress at home. Was it millions of dollars found in Miami attic this week? Yeah, should have bought that house, right? What's your attitude? What's your relationship with money? And Don talked about my problem. Everybody look at me, please. Never done this before. Look at me. Don talked about my problem with money. I work hard for my money. I am going to reward myself. I am going to buy the car I want. I'm going to buy the house I want. I'm going to buy the jewelry I want. I'm going to buy the stuff that I want. The world says, we work hard, we deserve all this stuff. We deserve all this stuff, and we can accumulate as much as our money will allow us to communicate. And in most cases, Don, we can accumulate a lot more than our money will allow us, right? We just get the credit card. We can accumulate so much stuff. And Don used these words. So if you got a problem, take it up with him. Okay? He says there's a childishness in the attitude of mine, and that attitude is backwards in the kingdom of God. That attitude begs the question of ownership. You see, according to Scripture, every bit of my money belongs to God. Every bit of everything that I have belongs to God. And so therefore, it's not my money. It's simply the Lord's money. And I'm called to be a good steward of whatever he's entrusted to me. And so Don offered three suggestions on that day. Here's what he said. He said, first of all, you got to deal with the ownership question. If you think your money is yours, you're confused and you're not living according to the scripture, because the scripture says all things belong to God. He says, so first you got to deal with the ownership question. But he says, second, give. He says, become a generous person. Give as a way of life. Give so that giving becomes part of your character. And you know what he did? He took us back to the scripture and he says, why should we give? Because God was a giver. And he displayed that in his son, Jesus Christ, when he gave his life for us. God's a giver. He says, learn to give. He said, you can't give a lot, give a little. He said, you can't give 10%, give 2%. Start somewhere. Begin to give. Secondly, he said, start to save. He says, start to save so you can start to take care of the needs of those around you, so that you can take care in times of need, so that you can care for your family. And Don even shared that piece. He said, he's frustrated when in times in his own life he couldn't give the way he wanted to because he hadn't saved the way he should have. So Don, he says, as it relates to money and putting money in its proper place, he said, give. He said, save. And the third one is, he said, spend less than you earn. He said, have a plan. I don't know if you remember what was going on back then, but that was the big Powerball week. And Don had written out this little math equation for us to try to figure out what we were going to do with millions and millions of dollars if we won it. And then he hit us right between the eyes when he said this. He said, I'm going to be a little pastoral dramatic right here, okay? Here's what Don said. He said, how dare you plan to spend money that you'll never get, in making a plan for the Powerball winnings when you won't even come up with a plan for the money God's already given you. Amen. Man, Jim, yeah. And so he says, give, become a giver. He says, save so you can care for people in time of need. And he says, at the end of the day, you tell your money what to do and where to go. Don't allow your money tell you what to do and where to go. Develop a plan. Identify every dollar that comes in and tell it where to go. And then he closed out with this. He said, I want to summarize this time by sharing something that one of my mentors told me long ago. Maybe I could live life in this way. If I could give 10%, I could save 10%, and I could spend the rest in joy and thanksgiving. Don, thank you for those words, that wisdom on that day to help us reframe our view of money, our attitude of money. It didn't work with me with the auto repairs, but it's good stuff, man, right? No, I'm kidding. It's challenging. Well, the writer goes on in Hebrews 13. If you have your Bible, let's look at verse 6 together. So he deals with this money issue, and he gives us this promise, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then here's what he says. He says, so we say with confidence, because the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, we now say with confidence, look at this, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can human beings do to me? Yeah. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? Here's the thing, and I really want you to stick with me here. The Christian is to be free from the love of money. Everybody with me say, uh-huh. The Christian is to be free from the love of money. The writer then switches topics. Man, this guy is a genius. I mean, to be in the Word and to really see what's in the Word, it'll blow your mind if you get into it. And this guy, here's what he does. He starts a conversation with money, and then he takes that conversation with money and he transitions to talk about life itself. Like life and death kind of stuff. Here's what he says. He says, don't love money. The Lord's going to be with you. Like, how easy is that? How simple is that? And then he goes on. He says, so we say with confidence, because the Lord is with us, the Lord is our helper, we will not be afraid. What can human beings do to us? The Christian is to be free from the love of money. Are we with me? Say, uh-huh. But here's what the writer does then. He says, not only are you to be free from the love of money, you are to be free from the fear of death. You are not only to be free from the love of money, you are to be free from the fear of death. Perhaps, man, listen to her, perhaps freedom from the love of money is not the most difficult call in this passage. For certainly, if we're not careful, life itself may become the possession to which I hold on the tightest. Does that make sense? Maybe money's not really the problem here. Maybe life itself is, because if I'm honest with myself, maybe my life is really what I want to grasp the hardest and hold on to the longest and not let go. So try this on. Church, if we can't turn our finances over to God, good luck turning over our very lives to Him. There is not a chance of us responding to His call on our lives through ministry or selfless service or anything significant that calls us beyond our plan for our lives if we can't even get to the point that we can trust Him with our finances. And so the writer, man, he says, you know, you got to be free from the love of money. And we go, whoa, well, money's the most precious thing there is. And he says, not only that, let the Lord have control of your entire life. You see, I laugh. I'm serious. I don't laugh out loud. I don't laugh publicly. I laugh on the inside. I laugh every time I hear someone say, I don't want to go to church. All they want is my money. I've heard it. I had a neighbor tell me that about 2 weeks ago. I don't want to go to church. All they want is my money. Can I tell you this? God doesn't want your money. He wants your whole stinking life. He wants everything about you. Your money? No, He wants your attitude. He wants your crummy ways of thinking. He wants where your eyes go. He wants the words that come out of your mouth. He wants your heart. He wants your thoughts. He wants your intentions. He wants your past. He wants your present. He wants your future. He wants your desires. I don't want to go to church because they just want my money. No, God wants everything from you. God wants everything. And I give you this little warning. Jesus is seeking to become the most important reality in your life. So in a way, that attitude is right. Jesus is seeking to dethrone not only the dollar, but to dethrone anything else in our world that has put itself up against the lordship of Jesus in our lives. Here's the promise, though. If we'll allow that to happen, He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Can I tell you this? Those words are most often spoken in very difficult times of life. You think about life itself. You think about your journey. You think about where you've been. Here's what tends to happen. We sit with someone who's just lost a family member or a friend. And what words are often spoken? Well, just remember, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. You sit with someone who's just received a diagnosis of illness. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. You sit with someone, a family, who's just come through a divorce. Well, just remember, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And friends, that's an incredible promise. But we need to be aware this morning that that promise, he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, that promise is issued at the same time that God is trying to get us to shove our money out of the way between us and him. That promise is issued when God is trying to get us to put money in its proper place. Can I tell you this, newsflash? money is losing value every day. Every day, the dollar is losing its value. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Center point, put your hope in the Lord. Otherwise, if your hope is in money, your hope is losing value every day. You have a card in your seat from when you came in. I've told you this a couple of times already. We're going to do this every Sunday through this summer series as we visit the scripture and then we spend some time in reflection. And my hope is that somewhere along the way, our time of reflection, God prompts us to action. And so on the front of your card today, it simply asks today's scripture, church, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And on the back, simply the question, will I allow God to shape my attitude about money so that I may live in contentment and trust in Him alone? If so, if the answer to that question is yes, church, how will this change my current financial practices? Let's pray together. God, we need your help today to trust in you. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to be at work in us, God, so that there is nothing in this world to which we hold on too tightly. So God, I pray right now all across this room that your Spirit would start to pull some fingers back, start to loosen some grips, Lord. And maybe today there are some people in this room, God, where the dollar is really on the throne and it's dictating everything. God, would you give them strength today to trust in you and rely on you? But God, we see what the writer's doing in Hebrews 13 today. We know this issue is not simply about money. This issue is about anything that we would seek to place on the throne of our hearts and our lives and give you second place. And God, we're very aware today that yes, you want to come in and you seek to become the most important reality, the guiding factor, the ultimate concern of all that we are. And so, Lord Jesus, in the way that you do this thing, through invitation, because God, we know you're not going to come in and you're not going to demand your way. You simply call us. You simply tell us that you won't leave us, you won't forsake us, and we have the option to go with you or to go to things that are losing their value every day. You invite us to confess that we trust in you. What can mere mortals do to us? God, help us to trust you today. So all across this room right now, Lord, if there are conversations that need to take place related to finances for individuals or families, Lord, help those conversations to happen. But Lord, if there are other things today that are standing in the way between us fully, God, trusting in you, relying on you for life and breath and all good things, God, help us, God, to refocus on the one who will never leave us, on the one who will never forsake us. God, help us to trust you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.